Yo, it is the 100 Sanford podcast. I am Lamar Lovelace. I'm without Graham Coffee, but I got the Trigger in the building. What's up, Trey?
Man, not much, man. Just chilling, you know.
You trying to get over what happened Saturday?
Yeah, man. I'm still trying to beat my head around and watch this game film. It's like, what did we go wrong? What happened? Like, I don't know, man. It just seemed like a different team was playing Saturday.
Man, hold up, man. How you been the last 3 days, though? Last 3 or 4 days? You feeling much better?
Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm good.
Got the edits coming out.
Yeah, man.
Folks is loving that.
I had to do some. I had to do something to take my mind off that, man.
Yeah, the edits are hot. If anybody has not seen them yet, you can go to the 100 Sanford podcast Twitter page. They're dropping like crazy. We got Dylan Bell to just drop today. Yeah, the one with Brock Bowers, Kamari Wilson. Wilson is a dog that's out there trending right now. A lot of different edits. We try to keep everything moving here on the 100 Sanford podcast.
We had the linebacker you edited with
yes, sir.
Walker.
Yes, sir. Yeah, those are some hot ones, man. We got some hot ones. You're doing some fantastic job out there, man. Just got to give that up to you. But hey, man, before we get started, the 100 Sanford podcast is powered by the Roll Up Network. And this show was brought to you by our partner, Prize Picks. Daily Fantasy Simplified. Enter, win, and withdraw fast. Just pick the player in the games, the over, under, on the stats. Sit back and watch and see what happens. It's that easy. All sports available, but especially our favorite college football. So go to prizepicks.com. Use the promo code 100 Sanford for a 100% match up to $100 and have fun. Go to the website. We got the link for merch, cool videos by my man Trigger Trey, all the edits, everything that we're doing. And things are only going to get better because we continue to bring on people and continue to bring on more talent to the 100 Sanford Media Group. So let's just continue to keep that thing moving. But yeah, man, last few days, man, just trying to recoup myself. I mean, heck, I mean, I put on Twitter. You know, my son came to me and he was like, "Daddy, why'd they lose?" I mean, a 7-year-old, you got to console a 7-year-old. And it reminded me of like Graham, you know, talking about, man, I was in the building for this and I was in the building for that. Heck, I remember being real little going to like Steeler games with my pops and whatnot. Matter of fact, my dad was a big time Pitt football fan. So I remember them losing like Penn State and stuff like that when I was real little and the pain that I would feel when I was super, super little. All I could do was, like, just hold him and say, "Son, don't worry, we're going to win it." And he looked at me dead in my eye and said, "Dad, don't worry, we're going to win the next two." I'm like, "How do you even know about the next two?" He's like, "I'll be paying attention." I'm like 7 years old, so I trust him. So I'm kind of regrouping right now.
Trying to regroup from it. Because at the end of the day, we in the college playoffs, so that's all that matters. Yeah, we took a hard L, but we didn't drop that far. We still in there. And we play on Michigan next, so.
Yeah, I think that would have been a hurt piece. Let's say we're number three going into this game and we lose to Alabama. I think that would have been the thing that hurt. To lose to Bama that way after dominating all season long and then not have a chance to play for the playoffs. But
yeah, that would have hurt worse, yeah. But the thing about it is, remember we lost to Auburn that year before we got to the playoffs. Because I think we played – Georgia Tech, then we came back and beat Auburn that same year, went to the Rose Bowl. You know, it can be losing, like right now, it could be a different mindset for the guys because they could be more locked in now since they lost that game. And we got a month to repair. So never know, man. It could change the mindset of things when you lose one game and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to try to flip it around, just like Kirby said immediately, said, "Hey, you know what? Sometimes a loss is good," or not necessarily. He didn't say it in those words, but. Basically was saying, you know what, this team needed a wake-up call. I don't believe in wake-up calls, but, I mean, you can use it to your advantage. I mean, heck, Saban used it to his advantage, right? He used that whole underdog role, had these guys ready to play on Saturday. So why can't we, especially with a team that I think overall is more talented than Alabama? I will give it to them. They had some skilled players that played well. But I'll also say that, you know, we had some skilled players that did not play to their full potential. I mean, we're going to get into that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But those corrections can be made. I mean, we got 20-something odd days until we hit Michigan. Hopefully they're locked into that game. It's a different style of team. And then you got, after that, what, about 30-something odd days then before you get to maybe an Alabama or Cincinnati. And you know what? Call me crazy, but I'd rather have Alabama again, national championship. I'd rather take down the big dog on the biggest stage. You know what I mean? Because quite honestly, it could have been this way. Let's say you go out and you beat Alabama by a slight margin, and they still put Bama in, because that's still
going to have to, and you're going to have to play them the first game, because they're going to be ranked 4.
Exactly. It still could have happened. So who knows? Regardless, I'm going to try to take the bigger man approach. But let's get into this game, man. You know, it happened on Saturday. It was down in Atlanta. We all know what happened. 41-24. The same score as what happened last year, which was crazy in itself. And when you go back and look at the numbers with Stetson Bennett, it's eerie, man, because it was roughly around the same thing.
It's around the same stats he had last year. I think probably just more touchdowns. I think how many intercepts he threw? Two?
He threw two.
Yeah, he threw three last year, two, and I think two touchdowns. But this year he threw three touchdowns and two interceptions and had more yards.
Yeah. I mean, but when you look at it, though, I mean, you could definitely see the maturation in the difference in how he played. I mean, he was ready to play. I'm not going to say he was not. Did he make some bad decisions at various times? I mean, the early possible interception that could have went to battle and taken to the house, that was a bad read there. And then the interceptions late. I mean, I thought for two quarters he was playing lights out.
Yeah, for the first half he was playing good. And to me, that second pick, that was in garbage time, because the game was already over by then. So that was in garbage time. But the first two quarters, I think he played real good. He was the only bad throw was, you know, to that pick almost doing battle for pick six. But other than that, I thought he was playing good. The game was not on him. It was based on the defense, because he can't play both sides of the ball. And the defense gave up almost like 400 yards at half.
When you look at it, I mean, 3 out of 4 possessions, both Alabama and Georgia scored, right? So how can anybody put this game on him alone, especially like you just said in the first half? I mean, you
barely got stops in the first half.
Exactly. Exactly. And outside of, you know, I think it's Dallas Carter that came in on that blitz, that linebacker blitz on that second drive. No, it was first drive, because that's when they scored three.
Yeah.
I mean, that boy shot out of a cannon and actually pulled that sack off. So, I mean, I got to give that to him. And you also got to give credit to Alabama. They came in prepared in certain ways, and they made the adjustments, and I think that's what happened. They made the adjustments in the second half to really kind of stifle the offense just slightly. But it was really the defense that was giving up a lot of those big-time plays that were not allowing this team to really utilize the offense, the full capability of the offense they wanted to use, because a lot of people were down on the run game. They were running the football in the first half. They were making those holes for Cook,
for the McIntosh. O-line played great. The O-line played outstanding.
Yes.
They kept Will Anderson contained, because Will Anderson didn't have a sack to like the fourth quarter.
Garbage time. It was a garbage time sack. Yeah.
The O-line played well, so it just, man. And the only thing I kind of didn't like with Stetson game, he would try to force throws when he'll literally have green grass opportunity to run the ball. Like, it's okay to run it. Like, you've been doing this all year. Like,
right. I think that was my only knock on him, too. And a lot of people talked about that, too, where, you know, in a game like this, you got to live to play another play. And for him, he should have maintained his cool, his composure, and said, you know what, instead of trying to make the big play and the big shot downfield. Because I think what was ended up happening, he's looking at the other side of the field and he's seeing Bryce Young make those plays. Yeah, you're not Bryce Young. Right, you're not Bryce Young.
Do what you've been doing the whole season. Like, use your legs, man. Bryce, use your legs.
That actually would have added a different component to the offense. I think if he uses his legs and they say, you know what, this guy's getting chunk plays of 4 or 5 at different shots, I think that would have happened. I think it would have kind of put Alabama in a different style of defense. But, let's talk about the elephant in the room, because the elephant in the room was really Georgia's defense. Yeah, I mean, heck, you score 24 points and your defense has only been giving up 6.9. I'm not saying you're going to shut Alabama out, but I mean, let's be honest. All of us on this on our podcast picked Alabama to score 24 points, all three of us. So if it's 24-24, it comes down to that field goal, and I'm going to take my chances with Jackpot any day. But what do you think about that defensive performance, man, that happened on Saturday? Open it up, man.
You being honest? That was probably the worst defensive form I had seen the whole season. Like, that was not Georgia defense at all on that field last Saturday. Like, it seemed like we went a whole different game plan where we went with. We sent blitzes a little bit, but credit to Alabama O-line, they did pick it up well. They did pick up our blitz as well. And then I didn't like how we tried to play like the zone we was trying to play. I don't like drop back six and just like rest three or four. Like, to me, that's not our game. We just didn't go with the game plan. We got our against Kobe play at Bama. We had to change it up. So,
well, I don't know. I get the whole change it up thing. But I got a couple different points on this. For me, when it came down to that defense, and we were talking about it off air, me and you, before we even got started, to me, they didn't seem like they had any juice to them. They looked so
– wasn't hype. It wasn't in it.
There was no explosion.
Most of the time when you see Georgia defense, you see five or four heads get to the ball.
Yes.
You didn't see that Saturday. You just maybe see like two or three, but you didn't see that intensity, that aggression Georgia football. Like,
exactly.
You didn't see that Saturday. Like, yeah. Even with – we all love Jordan Davis, but reality hit him when they went hurry-up offense. Reality hit him that game. Because we couldn't sell about. They just kept going. No huddling. So he had to stay on the field. And
yeah,
our defense was tired. They were gassed.
And that's interesting because if you're only rushing three, you're only rushing four, you should, when plays are coming in and happening downfield, you should at least have four to five guys circling around the ball. And they didn't have that. Like you said, I mean, there was no cohesiveness as a unit. There was no aggressiveness. To me, they looked really, really laxed. It almost looked like they got punched in the mouth with the speed of Alabama.
And they
were surprised by it and didn't respond. But like we were talking about, they faced a Tennessee team that I thought came out with too much fire.
They came out and punched us in the mouth.
And punched us in the mouth, and they responded. So that's when I don't know about you, but when I was watching the game, I'm like, okay, they're going to respond. I ain't worried about it.
They didn't do
they
nothing.
They never did.
We got punched in the mouth, and we didn't do nothing. We just sat there and just took it.
Yes, just took it the entire game, and that really surprised me. I mean, going back to the blitzes, I didn't see any type of creativity with the blitz schemes. I saw a couple middle linebacker blitzes.
That's all you seen. You didn't see them like – you didn't see no crossing.
No crossing, no stunts, no nothing.
Angle. Like,
exactly.
Like, yo, I didn't even see Tanner Hill come at the quarterback in the whole second half. We got fast linebackers. Like, what are we doing? This is like, yo, we did not play our game. We got out of our game plan. We seen Bama punch us in the mouth. They got nervous. They slacked up on the game plan. You seen D'Kobe Dean come in for a couple of blitzes, like a couple of times. Boom, that's it. Tanner Hill, a couple of times. That's it. Quay. I don't even think I seen Quay even.
No, he didn't make a play the entire game.
I didn't even see. And then what makes me so mad about this right here, me and you were talking about this off the air. Like, yo, we seen our boy Breeze start the whole year. Whole year.
Yeah.
Clemson balled out. He had one bad game, the Tennessee game. We seen that RPO kill him. It took him out because they made the switch to Chris Smith. Then he started again the Charlotte game. I guess he was having a hard time in the Charlotte game. But now we see William Poole. William Poole did not start all this year. He got a couple of reps. And he started the Alabama game out of all games. You put him in the fight when Britt started the whole year. and you just get William Poole to start out of nowhere.
Man, I don't know what happened, but I don't care what happened. In that game, you start and you play who you need to play, and you don't mess around with the line.
Like, he was getting killed. Remember, Brick got killed in the Tennessee game. Yeah. They made that rotation. They made that switch to Chris. They put Seam on the other safety. They put Dan on the right safety, and they just put Chris Smith at start. They didn't make no adjustments. Like, nothing. Right. No rotation, no switches. They didn't make no sub. They just let William Poole just stay in the whole game and just get murdered. Like, nah, bro, you just going to have to take this ass whooping you're getting right now.
Well, which brings me to another point because, I mean, in order to kind of self-soothe myself, I mean, I reached out to Greg Blue, man. I ain't going to lie. I had to message Blue when I was like, Blue, I mean, like, what did you see and what would you have done? And he was like, basically, you saw the blueprint. You saw what Auburn did. You saw what Tennessee did. You saw what LSU did. You saw what Florida did. Why did you not replicate the same thing?
But we don't have them guys, though. We don't have that personnel.
No. I'm going to go with something he said and he mentioned. And this I agree with because Graham brought this up in our podcast talking about it before the game. You know, we did our preview before the game. If you're going to play press coverage, play press coverage on the inside. Force those guys to the outside and use the sideline as an extra defender against those speedy receivers. Make Bryce Young throw a complete perfect pass. He threw that one to Michi that was perfect over top of three guys. That's not going to happen the entire game. They were playing 7 yards off the ball, allowing these guys to get inside releases.
I can't stand when they do that.
Yes, when you're looking at – that's a type of team you can't do that. You gotta like, close up the throwing lane.
Elite receiver Michi has elite footwork.
Yes,
elite. And then we all know Bama system. They have guys that can take slants 60 and 70 yards to the house off of a slant. Like, why are you playing 7 to 8 yards off? That's the only thing I sometimes hate when they call defensive scheme our defensive scheme because we don't press a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always play like 6 to 7 yards off. Like, we have to stop doing that. Like, honestly, could that lead for hitches, curls, out routes? Like, we have to stop doing that.
And see, to me, that's the weirdest part because if you believed in your front six that much, you believe in your front seven that much, you should be able to play man press coverage. And that's what Blue was talking about. I mean, they've been able to get pressure on guys with 5, 6 guys all season long. If Auburn can do it, Tennessee can do it, if Florida can cause hell,
you should have been able to do it. We used to do it when we had Adam Anderson. Remember, they used to send heat because, you know, he could always come out the outside and get to the quarterback, and Nolan Smith could come with the calorie or Jalen Carter. But we don't have that pass rusher. We still trying to find that guy to get to the quarterback, and we still – like the pass rush that Saturday, it was non-existent.
It was non-existent, man. No sacks.
Like none.
No
sacks at all.
And granted, again, I got to go back and I got to give Alabama some credit because, again, we were talking about it. Bryce Young played very well inside the pocket. His footwork was outstanding. His ability to see down the field. Pocket awareness. I mean, even when they had him in the grass, there's one time where Wide has him in the grass and he actually makes that throw dang near from his knees and completes a pass across the middle for about 20 yards or when he escapes the pocket and then makes that little flip out to Robinson. Again,
that
he's playing
that was an elite play. You can't
elite
about
play.
That
you can't take that up. You can't take that away. But you cannot give up the chunk plays that you gave up for touchdowns, the 56-yarder, the 68-yarder. You know what I mean? You can't give up these plays.
A lot of blown coverages because, like me and you talking about, a lot of blown coverages was because we haven't been playing that type of zone all year. They basically try to do something whole different to what we've been accustomed to this season.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm from the mindset of with what's his name? Oh man, the old coach from John Wooden used to say over at UCLA. John Wooden never practiced against what another team would bring to you. My dad used to tell me that all the time. He would say, because he was a big John Wooden fan, they would never practice playing defense in a scheme against somebody else's offense. Basically, it was, we're going to run our defense, which is man-to-man, all the time, and we're going to run our offense and we're never going to change it. Because if we do it better than anybody else, you ain't going to stop us and we're going to stop you.
And that's basically what Auburn did. Auburn played man the whole entire
game. And if the quarterback doesn't get hurt, they actually win that game.
Yeah, I think if TJ Finley didn't have like one leg, I think they would have won the game. Or if Tank would have like literally stayed in bounds, they would have won the game.
Yeah,
but that goes back to what we were talking about before on the other podcast. We have to have the guys to be able to play man. Like we love Ringo, we love his mom, but he's still learning to play man to man bump and run coverage.
Right.
And the touchdown, he knew he was beat, but Sam didn't have him help over the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Sam didn't help him out at all over the top.
And again, I gotta give Bryce Young credit because he made some amazing throws when you go back and look at this game. I mean, he was on point and he's really not truly that accurate of a quarterback. I mean, he makes some great throws. I mean, but there's a lot of time he's inaccurate, and he's inaccurate when you bring blitz game.
Yeah.
When you bring pressure, he's not very accurate. It's like most quarterbacks, their completion percentage is going to drop a little bit.
It seemed like the blitzes stopped. Like, we didn't blitz that much in the second half. Right? But then again, we did hold them to we don't let them score. Like, that was the only touchdown I had, I think, was the big play over top.
Yeah.
James, that was an elite route by him. Ringo can't do nothing about it. That was elite. That ain't no corner stopping it. That was just an elite route.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I don't care. I don't care who the cornerback was. That route was outstanding.
That was just elite. And then that celebration, yeah, that was just elite. Yeah. And Ringo, the fastest guy on the team. Like, that was just elite.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to beat this game into the ground. But
just got to go back to the lab, film study, see what
exactly
went wrong.
Exactly. I think, the other thing that I will touch upon is that, much has talked about the whole thing with Nick Saban against his assistants. And I'm going to tell you one thing that I thought about that I think Nick does better than anybody. I think Nick uses his assistants against themselves. Think about the time that he spends with his assistants, spends in the room going over game plans for whoever else they're going to play, right? And I could just see it right now. Kirby's in the locker room. He's at Alabama, and he says, hey, Nick, I think we should do this. And Nick says, I don't think that's going to work. But Nick jots it down and says, you know what? I see his mindset on this because one day Kirby's going to leave me and I'm going to be able to play. I think that's what Nick does because
that's probably exactly what he does.
Right. He game plans against what I know somebody else is going to do differently against me versus, no, we know how we're going to beat you. And that's the weirdest thing because, again, if there's anybody who's played Nick tougher than anybody in the nation, it's been Georgia with Kirby. That's what's crazy. So this game, I don't even understand how different this game got. So to me, it came down again also to coaching because they definitely should not have made those changes.
Nah. And the crazy thing about this, last year, we played a great game, and it was on the offensive side of the ball because we couldn't get touchdowns.
Right.
Because we had the opportunity to score. Bennett didn't make the throws. This year, Bennett was actually making the throws in the defense. Fail.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
you're like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, man. Right, I don't know. So what was the good that came out of this game? What do you think?
To me, the good, it was some positive in this game. Offensive line played great.
You're going to give it up to him.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is on a whole nother level. That guy right there is on a whole nother level. I think one of the old former Georgia players tweeted out, if Brock Bowers keep playing the level he is now, he's going to break a lot of records at Georgia, at tight end. He's going to break a lot of records. And before he leave, he's probably going to be the best tight end he had in a long time to leave Georgia. One of the plays I think was going to be catch of the year if he held on to it. With that one in the back of the end zone.
Yes! There you go.
That catch, if he would have, if number two didn't come across him and knock the ball out, that was going to be catch of the year because that was over two guys. And I think it was, who the corner? I think it was Branch. He was literally right up under him and Brock is a hell of an athlete, man.
Yeah. And that's what it is. He caught the ball, but when he's bringing it down and pulling it in, Branch actually just brings his fist up and just kind of punches it just slightly. at the last moment. It was momentum that actually knocked the ball out.
Another kid, you got to give it to Bennett, because Bennett actually threw a great ball and Brock had to go make a play on it. Brock is, look, another thing, this off topic over here. For nobody cannot tell me Brock not have no blackness in him. Brock got to be half black. He's not completely white. That man has, yo, Brock is, and then that other one, that last play,
yeah,
that's a grown man right there. And that's a freshman?
Nah. Yeah. Yeah, he's super elite, man. I don't think if anybody would have came to me before the season and said, hey, man, you know, you got to watch this Brock Bowers kid. He's going to break records this year. I'd have said, I would have said, okay, I heard about the athleticism, but nobody expected. I mean, literally, he took over this game.
Yeah, I seen it on tape. Brock was elite, but because we had Darnell still there, like, if you would have came to me and told me Brock Bowers was going to be leading our team in touchdown and yards and reception, I would have laughed at you because I thought it was going to be Burton.
Yeah. I mean, granted, we did have injuries. You know what I'm saying? So it could have been Burton. It could have been – heck, it could definitely would have been Pickens or something like that. But
it could have been Kareem Jackson because Kareem Jackson led the team like halfway through the season last year.
Exactly. But, I mean, you got to give it up to him. The kid is elite. I thought the other thing that was actually kind of positive, though, was the offensive line play. I thought that they held their own.
That's another thing I said. That was great. That was probably the best game they had all season.
Yes.
No sacks.
Dialed in. You could tell they were dialed in as a unit. Very communicative. They controlled Will Anderson. They controlled the middle. Because, again, people thought that they couldn't run the football. Go back. You know, I challenge people to go back and look at film.
They were running it up the middle pretty good.
Yes.
It was doing good.
They were running the football up the middle. They were getting on the outside on the edge. I mean, there was a lot of things happening for that team. But, you know, I think the last thing you can look at is like, you know, again, it's something to learn from, right? It's something to kind of go back to the drawing board because you do got two games left because you are in the college football playoffs. You do got a matchup against Michigan. It's going to be a game where it's going to be a game of physicality. So if Georgia wants that style of play.
Old-fashioned type of football right here.
And that's the style of game. That's the style of game, quite honestly. That's the style of game that they need.
Yep. Darnell got his first touchdown of the season. Give it up to Big O.
Big O. That's right. Yeah, and man. So
they should have been doing that in the red zone. Like, man, it's 6'8". Like,
well, I mean, he just came back, what, 3 games ago?
Yeah. And, you know, put in Jan, he's tall and big because, you know, taller guys, it take longer for their feet to heal and stuff like man. That.
Yeah, but he's back. You know what I mean? So I'm like you. I like that Big O was there. Got his opportunity to catch that.
They actually gave him a bone again. Hot friend was talking, throw him a bone.
Yeah.
But the Michigan game, man, I've been watching, doing a little film study. Michigan, they got some ballers over there on that defense.
Yeah, they do.
One guy that literally jumps off the film is, because we all know defensive end. It's the guy, Jackson Hill. His speed is elite. They play him all over the field. Safety, nickel, have him at Robert sometimes. Sometimes he roam the middle. Sometimes he play the slot in the tight end at the nickel position. So they even sent him on blitzes. I seen a couple of times to the quarterback. He got there just like that. Like,
yes.
His speed is elite. And he got great IQ. He a playmaker. He made some incredible plays on the ball in the middle of the field. I seen one of them. I think it was against Wisconsin. He made a diving pick, and he just read it. He read it like a book. Like, he just played the quarterback, just played him.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is the type of game I think Georgia needs, though, at the same time. You know what I mean? It's one of those games you don't want to play a game with skill position players that are really elite on the offensive side of the ball. You want your defense to get physical again, right? You want them to be able to –
this is the game for it because our front seven didn't play good. And this,
exactly.
And this right here against Michigan don't pass the ball that well. They have a trio of backs like the Ohio State game. The Ohio State game, they ground and pound the ball the whole game. They had 300 rushing yards.
Right. So but, you know, it is one of those games, though, that, you know, you're going up against a guy that's an ex-NFL coach. He's an elite coach himself, man. I mean, a lot of people don't like Harbaugh. And they, you know, they knocked Michigan for trying to get back to beating Ohio State, in which they finally did this year. But he can coach, so I mean, he's not going to just sit there. He put it this way: he ain't going to pull a Georgia and not look at tape and say, well, I'm not going to use anything in Alabama that, you know, that was successful for them. No, he's going to pull, you know, things out of their playbook too, and try to expose, you know, Georgia's defense, where some people think that secondary was exposed. I don't necessarily think so. I just think really truly.
It's just no pass rush. Like, what can a secondary no pass rush?
That's right. That's right, man.
They can't cover them all day.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I say the same thing. But I mean,
to me, I think they need this game. Like, this front seven need this game to get their identity back. To like, yo, we supposed to be the best front seven in the nation. Like, we got to get it together. We got to find. To me, somebody got to step up in that outside linebacker. Somebody has to step up and say, "Yo, I'm gonna be the guy that gets to this quarterback. I'm gonna do my thing, set the edge." Because right now, we don't have that guy.
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, I don't like to talk about Adam Anderson. You know what I mean? He's got his own things he's worrying about. But
prayers to him and their families that are going through this time right now. God knows it's a good time for them.
Exactly.
We don't like to discuss it, but
he meant a lot.
He said it when it happened. We are going to miss Adam Anderson down the stretch.
Yes.
And look what happened. We're missing him down the stretch. Our pass rush is non-existent. But I would like to see the Chaz and Sherman. Like, can we give them guys some chances to see if they?
What's funny, didn't even see him. You didn't even see him last game. You definitely didn't see Sherman. You saw Beal.
You didn't see Chaz that game because for the Tech game, he played a lot of reps.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't see none of that. I'm just like, can we? Like, I don't get it. Like, we get these freshmen in, you know. With some of the older guys, experienced guys, you know, whoop, like, yo, we gotta make some changes. Just like the William Poole, we could have threw Lassiter in there. Lassiter been making some good plays this year. Like, see what he can do. Cause man, look, William Poole looked at lost. It is what it is. He looked at lost. He looked at lost. Like, and then I think he got allowed 9 catches on almost 200 yards. Like, come on.
Kirby, 9 catches on 11 targets, man.
Like, Kirby, like, you got to make the switch, man. I know you take pride in the seniors, but he's getting killed, man. You got to make that switch. We have to make that switch.
Yeah, he was getting drilled. 9 catches, 11 targets. And you know what? And at some point, when you're getting beat that bad, you really have to pull somebody out because their confidence is going to make them even worse. I mean, his confidence is blown.
And I think he don't trust nobody else. That's what I think we limited in options. I don't know, for some reason Britt not playing. That's my guy. You know, he's a fan of the show. For some reason he's not playing. Then you remember Terry Smith, he's out. Now we have William Poole and then we got other freshmen. So I guess he's the only guy he trusts. So we limited right there on start. Like, we just limited right there.
Well, think about it, man. Again, they got 24 days, 25 days, I think, odd days left to figure it out. And not only that, you're playing against an offense that's not that explosive in Michigan. So they have a little bit more time to figure that out, man. And you know what? We got enough time to kind of go over Michigan. I know both of us, along with Graham, are going to do some film work, look at the film, see what we could do to expose Michigan. And we'll get to that. But, you know, let's get on some happier things, man. The awards came out. What do you think about those awards?
I seen that Kobe Dean took on the best linebacker award, man. Linebacker, you, yes, sir.
Well deserved. Well deserved by N'Kobe Dean. I mean, by far, to me, I mean, and we, you know, I watch a lot of college football, as you do too. By far, the best linebacker in the country.
He is remotely the best linebacker.
The best. Right. And you're talking about at least a top 12, top 13 NFL pick this year and coming out in the draft. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend upon his measurables. Everybody's going to look at that because, I mean, his size may not be prototypical 6'2", you know, 235, 240 middle linebacker, something like that. But his speed is outstanding. But when you have a high IQ with speed and your ability to be able to diagnose plays, that makes you super outstanding, and he was outstanding all season long, even in this game. You know, I think, you know, this Alabama game, and we're not going to go back to it, but, I mean, he came to play. I mean, but you can't do it all by yourself, right? I mean, there's some plays that, you know, I'm sure he wished he could have had back in that game, but all season long, outstanding. And not only that, Heck, they could have gave him the award just based off of leadership alone.
Yeah, because he is definitely the leader in that linebacker room. Yeah, he's definitely the leader in the linebacker room. Oh, and then I forgot another play we didn't talk about. Number one, George Pickens with the big catch.
Oh, that's right. We forgot about Big George. But hold up, let's give him an award right now on the show. Comeback Player of the Year. There you
right.
go.
Right. Yeah, Pickens. He deserved it.
He deserves that.
I wanted him to get the touchdown so bad, like, man. Just give him a touchdown. And then the ball, he went up and got that ball.
Classic George Pickens.
That's classic George Pickens. He always tried to pull on the show when he got up. He was hype. He was ready to play. He was all energized, locked in. Like, that's what you like to see, man. It's good to see George back on the field doing what he loved to do, man. Hopefully, we can see more of that moving on. But you know.
Yeah. Which, I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on from it. I still don't understand why he wasn't on the field more, because if there's a guy that can go up and get plays and go up and get balls, 50-50 balls.
He's the guy.
You're throwing that ball deep.
He's going to go up and get it.
If not, it's going to be a pass interference call, which we got like three or four of those during that game. So he's going to be that guy, though, man.
Oh, another guy. Ladd is impressive. He's very faster than what I thought he was.
Ladd's doing his thing. He did his thing, no doubt. Yeah. Kirby Smart, SEC Coach of the Year. Well-deserved, as I believe. Only team that went undefeated throughout the SEC. You know, you take away the SEC championship game, obviously, they lose, but still, they go undefeated, win the SEC East, flat out outstanding, dominant season all year long by the Dogs, so he's well-deserved. Here's the award that I don't understand, and, you know, let's put it out there. It's the Mackey. But for no reason at all, I have no understanding of why our guy, Brock Bowers, did not get the Mackey Award for tight end.
To me, I thought it was because, remember, all right, perfect example. Remember Stingley freshman year? Stingley balled out his freshman year. I think he should have won a Jim Thorpe Award, but he didn't even get nominated.
Mm-hmm.
And again, look at Brock Bowers' stats was incredible his freshman year.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't even nominated. He wasn't even the best tight end in the SEC. They put the Texas A&M guy in there. He wasn't even the best tight end in the SEC.
I agree.
I think freshmen should be allowed to be in the honors.
Oh, of course. I mean, there's no doubt. But I think, to me, it was SEC. It was actually Georgia bias, quite honestly. Because Georgia would have had so many guys winning awards. I think that it was – because you got to believe Kirby Smart's going to get Coach of the Year. Even though they lost the SEC title game, I think he's going to get Coach of the Year. Going 12-0, you know, undefeated going into the championship game. You got to believe that, you know, obviously the Kobe Dean.
The dominant season they had, season, so that plays into it.
Right. Lanning should have gotten an award. I mean, he got the 247 award for Defensive Coordinator of the Year, Coordinator of the Year award. But you
got
to believe that
he should have got an award, too, because he had –
working with what he had to work with,
Because, a lot of guys been out. A lot of guys been out half of the year on offense. Because remember, we was playing, AD was starting, Ladd was starting. We had a lot of receivers out, man.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing that really surprised me, I got to go back to, is Brock Bowers. I mean, he was outstanding. And even if you don't like his total numbers, I mean, and his numbers were actually 47 catches, almost 800 yards, 10 touchdowns.
Yards to tight end. His freshman year.
Exactly, freshman year.
Over 10
touchdowns. When you look at the plays, it wasn't just, you know, a tight end coming across the middle, 5-yard, 6-yard catch.
At all.
These were explosive plays.
End around,
tight end screens. Like, people aren't, you know.
But impressed me the more that year, the best play to me was he did an RPO slant to get to the house. Not too many tight ends doing that.
Yes.
Not too many tight ends doing that's receiver type right there. Taking a slant like that.
Completely outstanding. I think if there's anybody that's going to be slighted for any award throughout this entire season, this offseason, it's going to be him. But you know what? He's got more to come though. You know what I mean? And, well, and I feel bad
for him. He's going to win some awards. He's going to win some awards for sure.
Right. Well, I tell you one thing, he's probably going to win. It's going to be in a couple of years. He's going to win that top 10 NFL pick because somebody's going to pay that boy big time.
Somebody's going to pick him top 10. He's going top 10.
It's happening.
It's happening. And another thing that might happen with him, we love TD on the show. He might finally break that TD record of yards. Finally, somebody get there.
Yeah, he's all right. What's the record on TD's yards?
I think it's 1,000. I know it's 1,000. But we're going to get into another topic after this. Like, because, you know, I know you've been seeing on Twitter, like, some of the fans want Cortez gone. So we're going to get into that, too.
Get into it now. Well, no, hold on. Well, let's say this. Let's say this first. All SEC, first team, Bowers, Davis, Wyatt, Dean, Kamara. On the second team, you got Sawyer. Shaper, Seen, Carter, and Kendrick. Again, well-deserved by those young men. They continue to ball out all SEC. And then you got the All-American teams that came out today for CBS. Davis, Bowers, and Dean, all first team for the All-American team. You got to give it up to those guys. Continue to ball out. At least they recognize that Bowers was the best tight end in America because he made the All-American team. At least
somebody sees it.
Exactly. Exactly. So get into it, man. I know you want to talk about your boy. Hankton, let's talk about it.
Because at first I wasn't on the Hankton train, but now you have to. When you have not good quarterback play and you're trying to recruit elite talent, like how you gonna recruit elite talent when your receivers don't have the production? It's gonna be hard to bring elite talent in when they don't have the production and you can't show them on film what's going on. Everybody wanna know why we can't get elite receivers. You have to have that quarterback play. You have to have that, and receivers have to get love, and et cetera. It's going to be easy to recruit tight ends in Georgia now, just off season alone, Brock Bowser.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be – all they got to do is just cut the tape on. They show Brock Bowser. Boom. Why
You don't want this?
You don't want this? You don't want these type of plays he's making? You don't want the type of plays we call it for him in the round tight end screen, slant?
Yeah, and, man.
And then, like, it goes to show, like, I know Stetson Bennett not the best quarterback in the world, but the receivers don't have the production for us to go in and, you know, go out of state and pull an elite guy.
Yeah.
That five-star. Like, Luther, we came up short on. I promise you, if Tremaine Burton would be having a good season right now, we would have pulled him.
Yes. I agree. I agree 100%.
Like, they don't have the production. Okay, let's pull it up. I think Ladd is second. I think Ladd is second in yards.
Overall stats?
I think Ladd is second in yards. And he's a slot guy.
Yeah, I mean, well, here's the thing, too, though. And people got to realize this. I mean, because I agree. I'm with you. And T.E. was on the show, right? He said that, like, I don't know, what was it, episode 3, 4 of the year? He said that elite receivers – are not going to come unless they are shown that they are going to make big time catches. All right.
And look,
and we saw that. And then see, the only thing that really helps is that when you see a guy like Brock Bowers being used in explosive plays, when you see Ladd being used in explosive plays. Now, if I'm Hankton and I go inside anybody's living room, I mean, I do got to mention, let's see, I had Pickens hurt. I had Burton hurt for most of the season. Kiaris Jackson hurt for most of the season. I had A.D. Mitchell. Smith. Arian Smith was, all these guys hurt. So when you look at the film and somebody says, hurt. Well, exactly. So when you look at the film and I show you, but let me show you what I did with Ladd McConkey. Do you know who that is? Did you even know who he was? No, you didn't know who he was, but let me show you what I was able to do with him. If I get a guy like you and I match you up with a guy like Brock Vandergriff, who's supposed to be the next guy coming in, a Gunnar Stockton who just won who just broke awards with the state of Georgia.
Broke Deshaun Watson record for touchdowns.
Exactly. If anybody's excited about a quarterback coming in, it's me.
I'm on Gunnar's
bandwagon now. But I'm able to show you that, then it's going to be a little bit easier to recruit. But I mean, for the fans knocking him, you should not be knocking Hankton because it's very tough to be able to pull in guys when you cannot tough. Over, you know, show extreme numbers. But at the same time, go back and look at how many receivers Georgia plays versus what Alabama plays. Do you see their production drop off like crazy? Outside of Michi and Williams, dude, there's nobody else that got over 250 yards receiving.
It's basically them. It's basically them.
That's
or,
right.
Or you can just look. Ohio State gets a lot of receivers because you have to look at it. Ohio State literally has two guys with 1,000 yards.
Yes.
They almost got three.
Yes.
Same with LSU. We all seen LSU numbers when they had Joe Burrow. We all seen that. LSU do not have problem getting elite guys. Bama don't either because Bama throws the ball more. And they, you know.
Like, but those guys also realize, though, they're the only guys catching the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing to me. I mean, the guys are willing to sit for a year, 2 years before they even get their opportunity. You know, that, but I guess they feel once I get that opportunity, I know I'm going to catch 1,000 yards. You know what I mean? I'm going to go to the league. I guess it just comes down to that.
Right. Some guys, like, they just need to – you really can't recruit elite talented receivers when they're not getting the production.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, let's see. Brock Bowers has 791, and Ladd is at 430.
And Tremaine Burton has 400 yards. And Tremaine Burton, I think, was 4 to 5 games.
Yes, he did. And A.D. Mitchell got up, you know, 342. I mean, so the ball's getting spread around. But, again, it's optics, too. You know what I mean? Like, again, when you look at the splash plays that Alabama or LSU or any of those other teams make, it looks much different than what Georgia's doing. And it's and like you said, I'm going to go back to what you originally said. It's the quarterback play. It's the guy throwing the rock. And I think that
– And another thing, when he don't have a strong of enough arm, that plays into the play calling, too. And with the elite, what plays get called. Because we don't – Georgia do not – we all know that we've seen – Georgia don't take that many D shots down the field. They don't. Not like last year. When they had JT, they took D shots down the field. This year, we know Bennett's arm is not the strongest.
Right.
And he kind of underthrown some of the routes on the deep ball. Like when Pickens, that ball was underthrown. He would have led him. That's a touchdown.
Yeah. I agree, man. So, I mean, again, they need to get off our boy Hankton. I mean, I wasn't always on his bandwagon myself. Me and you I both used to talk about it.
I know.
But I mean, but all of those coaches, Trey, you know what I mean? On the defensive line, we weren't on his bandwagon either until all of a sudden he made them boys monsters.
He pulled in elite talent for three straight years, and he made everybody set up.
Yeah, man. So just have to give guys time and let them, you know, allow them to work in their system and work in their coaching.
Because they have the quarterback have to spread the ball. You have to have, like, to me, I just need a quarterback to have a strong arm. That's it.
Yeah. Well, that's college. You know what I'm saying? Like in college, if you got a strong enough arm and you can believe in the other components of your team, the defense, the special teams, and allow those guys, your special playmakers to make plays, you're going to be successful in college. It doesn't, that stuff don't work in the pros. You got to have all, you got to have everything. High IQ, ability to read defenses, manipulate the defenses, be able to climb the pocket, escape the pocket, make plays happen. In college, if you got a strong arm, and a great offensive coordinator, it means a whole heck of a lot.
Baker for you.
Yes. Even if you're not accurate, you know, you got special athletes on the outside. They make you seem more accurate than what you are because they're able to go out there and get that ball, man. So, hey, let's get into this, man. I know let's move forward. We got signing day coming up next week, man.
Oh, man, it's crazy. It's about to be here fast already.
Yes, sir. I'm interested because right now on the Rivals, you got Georgia number 1, Bama 2, Texas A&M 3, Notre Dame 4, and OSU 5. But if you go to 247, Bama's number 1, Georgia's number 2.
It's December, and you know Kirby always have a surprise around this time.
Well, let me ask you, do you think this past game actually maybe made some people pause and think?
Oh, no.
You think we locked in on who we locked in with?
Yeah, because even if you even go look at the game and the Twitter and, like, even some of the Georgia commitments will tweet in the game, like, they want JT. So they know what's going on, so they pretty locked in. I, I guess they just want what we want. We want to see JT be quarterback.
Right, right. Well, let's talk about some of these guys. I mean, for people to listen to, the people listening to the show that they can actually cue in on. Obviously, our verbal commits are our verbal commits right now. But Kamari Wilson, what do you think about that? The IMG product, we got that IMG pipeline. What do you think he chooses right now? He's down to Georgia, Michigan. What's your thoughts?
To me, off of confidence, I say 8 to UGA. Because everybody knows I'm cool with him, stuff like that. So I say UGA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if, I mean, you put out the edit, I'm hoping.
if he goes somewhere else, I will be shocked. I will be shocked if he goes somewhere else. That's my honest truth. I will be shocked.
Yeah. I think coming off that that weekend with his family there, all you heard was the family was excited. He was excited. You know, Georgia was excited. And, you know, it's been the vibe has been all around Georgia for a long time. But, you know, I think that he's one of those kids that really wanted to hold off his commitment to the last moment so that it could really be special to him. And I think that's cool. I think a lot of times these kids get pressured to verbally commit, but he's one of those special athletes. He can wait to the last moment. And quite honestly, if he's he can be a silent commit. He's already got his spot locked up, right? So what do we know?
We basically saving a spot for him because we got like how many DBs come in? We got 5.
Yeah, five DBs.
We got MGK. His dad is a fan of the show. We got Julian, got Starks, got Jaheim, and we got Thomas.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So we need some DBs, right? We need some dogs.
Yeah. So after Saturday, we need some dogs. Yeah. We need some people to come in ready to ball. The best one, I think, to me, is probably Starks is going to be that guy.
Starks is that dude.
Yeah,
he's that dude that can actually come in day one, and I'm happy. I'm so happy he's coming in. He's going to be an early commit.
I'm happy we got him to lock in. He didn't go nowhere else out of the state. I'm happy he stayed at home.
Yes. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to Starks. Good kid. I think he's one of those guys that's going to be a leader in that locker room for a long time. On the back end, he's quiet, but he's a vocal leader on the field, man. That's what I love about the kid. I think he's outstanding. Squirrel, what do you think about Squirrel, man?
And the crazy thing, he's actually coming on an official visit to Georgia this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's one of the guys I do hope we get in on signing day. That man has elite speed, and I mean – because, you know, we put out the edit for him. That man has elite speed.
Well, I mean, for those who don't know, that's Marquez
White.
Yeah, White. I don't know how to pronounce his first name.
His nickname is Squirrel.
Alabama kid, Tennessee commit, but he's a possible flip, man. I mean, I think that's one of those things where if we can pull him away, elite speed, we need speed. Those guys that are able to stretch the field. I'll take him all day, every day.
I'm trying to be like Bam. I'm trying to take slants to the house. I'm trying to say slant 60 to 70 yards to the crib. I need that.
That's right, man. I mean, I think that would be outstanding. And to go with the speed that we already have with AD, you got Spear coming in, back off of injury.
I know I wasn't a fan of Spear, but I see the kid can fly. The kid can fly.
Yeah, he can flat out play, man.
I'm starting to see why they offer him and why they offer him that quick. So what was his biggest offer? Remember the last situation? Biggest offer. Look what he's doing now.
Well, see, you know what's funny about that? And I'm going to go to this real quick. So we're coming off the, COVID, where nobody was able to go out there and recruit. Maybe Ladd was really that four star. Maybe he's really that guy that can really get things done and slip through the cracks. Yeah.
Late on Twitter that look, I think everybody seen you had Ringo posting like, yo, he's him. And you had other people, other recruits posting like, damn, we see why he is him now.
Yeah. And I'm thinking the same thing with some of these recruits are going to slip through the cracks this year, especially Spear. He's one of those kids that probably didn't get an opportunity to get around to a lot of camps. And I'm happy about that because I'd rather keep him in state and have him do what he does. CJ Smith, Florida D commit. Blazer with speed. What's your thoughts on him, man?
You know, he's another guy that got a fish or two, and he, you know, he just come out to Deacon Maker, Florida.
Yeah.
But the thing about me is I found out some information about him today. I talked to one of the Florida guys. He's only played 9 games in 3 years.
Yeah.
But the speed, tough. The speed is legit. But the thing is he, can he stay healthy? That's the thing. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, it could. I mean, maybe it's one of those Carlton Madden Jr. things. You know what I mean? Where your guy gets hurt, comes back, does something with his body, gets bigger, gets stronger, gets faster. Maybe he gets in Georgia's weight room. You know, that great weight program they got there. He gets stronger, and he's, you know, able to become more physical to take the pounding of the SEC. But you know what? You can teach speed, right? I mean, again, I'm not asking the kid to go across the middle and take body shots, but I'm asking him to stretch the defense and become special at what he does, you know?
Oh, another thing. Remember we posted the film, posted the edit with Dylan Bell today?
Yeah,
oh,
man.
It goes crazy. He's built like a running back.
Yeah, Dylan's special, man. He's one of those Brown.
Remember I put out the other thing, like he was juking. He was like, yes. That's playmaking right there. Like, he's shifty. Dylan is shifty.
He's very shifty. I'm so angry because I'm here in Houston, man. I didn't get a chance to get up there and see him. I mean, games were kind of tough, too, especially with COVID. They were tough to get to. Him and Humphrey, I wanted to see both of them play, especially being hometown kids and the ability to take my kids and maybe get a, you know, let them get a picture with them. But hopefully I can get that boy on the podcast. I'm trying to get him on the podcast. I think we might have him. Man.
He's a fan of the podcast, so maybe he'll hop on with us.
I'm hoping that he hops on. Hey, let's move to this guy, Shamar James, man, Alabama kid, hard to leave the state after what just happened. But what are your thoughts, linebacker? We need
my thoughts on that. The crazy thing, he loved our linebacker for us. I remember showing the edit of Dean what I had made for. He said Dean for president. And he loves Dean, man. He looks up at Kobe Dean.
Well, hopefully, I mean, Dean is able to help pull him in. It's going to be tough, though. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I think I sent you that tweet today. I said, I don't know, man. It could be where Alabama pulls in at the last moment.
But the thing is, look at, we about to put out, say if, cause I think we seen them two guys, you know, Quay Walker.
Quay. Mm-hmm.
And we seen Chaz, you know, take the Reese's invite. So most likely they could be gone. They could be future NFL draft picks, and that'd be 3 linebackers you get in the league. You know, that's a ain't no team did that in a minute because you know Georgia is linebacker. You would have put out for the edit.
Yeah, man.
And you know, and he can be on board with 2 other great linebackers we got right now, C.J. Washington and Dylan Walker. You know, they both fans of the show. Yes, so hopefully Shamar actually comes on because I know he really likes our linebacker core. He looks up to the Kobe D. He like how we use our linebackers, how we play them. So hopefully he makes that decision. If he goes to Bama, he goes to Bama. Hopefully he chooses UGA. We'd love to have him. A great, talented guy. So I hope he chooses Georgia, man, because we can use some linebackers. We're losing 3. We need
we need more explosion on the outside. I think he can play that outside linebacker position.
I think he can play both.
Yeah, he's explosive, and you know, and losing the I think that people don't really realize how explosive our linebackers are. When you're losing Dean,
all 3 of them fast,
Quay, Tindall, they're like lightning fast, man. So
we need to bring in aggressive, and they're gonna come up and hit you.
Come up,
we've seen Tannehill closing speed is some of the best we've seen in a while because he will come up and hit you.
Yeah, man.
And they're not scared to take on linemen either when they blitz. They will run through the offensive linemen.
Which is interesting. You know, we're still waiting to hear, and it probably won't happen until after the season, but what Nolan's going to do. I mean, he's eligible. So who knows? I mean, hopefully Nolan comes back. He's one of those senior leaders that could actually come back and mean a whole heck of a lot. Him and Walker can mean a lot to this team.
Man, I'm hoping Walker and Tannehill come back, please.
Well, Tindall, he accepted that senior invite.
Yeah, Quay did too.
Yeah, but I don't know. You can't come back if you go to one of those senior bowls. You can't accept it. I mean, you can't come back.
I don't think you can't come back. No. It'd be little to have them guys back.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Tindall, I mean, he's already raised his stock, but he comes back, he can really raise his stock.
Yeah, he can be up in that top 20 range. Because remember, he's coming in not even playing a lot of snaps. He's just doing off the snaps.
He can be one of those super senior guys. Christian Miller, man, DT, Cedar Grove, teammate with Carlton Maddie Jr.
We're trying to get that sweep because, you know, we got his other boy that's coming out the corner.
That's right. You got Carlton Madden. You got Kagan Lee. Both of them Cedar Grove products.
I think he, because, you know, he'd be on Dog Nation all the time. He's literally on Dog Nation almost every week. Like,
yeah, he is.
Like, he's on Dog Nation every week with Jeff talking, chopping it up. He making it obvious, like, yo, he's coming to UGA. What are the options he doesn't come to UGA all the time? He'd be on Dog Nation every week.
I think he's a silent, quite honestly. I think it's a clean sweep with Cedar Grove.
I'm
looking forward to both of them. Exactly. I mean, they got two teammates that, you know, that can come in, play together, be there for 3 years, 3 to 4 years. I think it's a clean sweep. But here's the outlier. This is the name that's been talked about. It's still out there in the ethers. Travis Hunter. Could he flip from Florida State to Georgia? Georgia kid, but he got Georgia family roots, and he keeps saying that Florida State's his dream school. But could he flip? I keep hearing it through the grapevine that, you know, a lot of people think so. I don't know. I mean, I talked to our Florida State guys, and they really believe he's locked in with Florida State, and they said that from jump that, you know, he's just one of those kids. He's a football junkie. He loves going to big time games, being in big time environments, and let's be honest. There was nothing more big time than going to a Georgia game versus going to a Florida State game out of state, you know, down in Tallahassee. So I personally think he sticks with Florida State, but there's a lot of movement right now. A lot of people saying that he might flip.
I'm going to be honest. Because at one point, Travis Hunter was not taking no visits at all to no other schools.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, he shows up to 2 UGA games, then went to a Jackson State game. But to me, it was fun for a moment. I guess he just wanted to see what else other people had to offer.
Yeah.
But to me, I think he sticks out with Florida State because he basically is from the Tallahassee area, and Florida State is his dream school. And I guess he want to be able to, like, so his family can see him watch him play. And I guess he want to be the hometown hero type guy.
Yeah.
Do UGA have a chance? It's Kirby and it's UGA. So anything's possible, but to me, I think he sticks with Florida State. He signed with Florida State Wednesday. He goes to Florida State and plays his career at Florida State.
Yeah, I agree, man. I just don't see it. And I've been talking to our Florida State guys on the Roll Up Network for the longest time. They're really tapped in, you know, with Josh Newberg down there who does a good job on the Rivals side of things, covering that team. And, you know, they've been locked in with Travis Hunter for a while. They really felt that if he ever flipped, it would have to be something that's outrageous to make him flip. And it would have to be something where a complete implosion of the Florida State program or change in coaching staff, something crazy that would make him think differently. And right now, they're not changing the coaching staff. But I agree. I'm with you. I think he wants to be that hometown kid.
I'm really happy.
And quite honestly, here's the thing. You talk about Jackson State. Deion went to Florida State. So who knows? He might have just gone down there to talk to Deion and say, look, you know what? If I come, you know, I could always come and play with you, Prime, but if I go to Florida State, what's it really like? And, you know, who's going to sell the program better than Deion, right?
And to me, something really, because his main guy, Woodson would have to leave Florida State for me to think Travis Hunter was going, you know, say, all right, my favorite coach is gone, so I got to try to figure out somewhere else. So, only how I think Travis leaves is Whistle. That's only how I think he leaves.
Yeah, I agree. Well, hey, man, anything else you want to get into before we close out the night, man? We got, I said, we got the big week of commits coming in next week. You know, we're going to try to do something. I know I'm going to be on the road, but we're going to try to, you know, make sure that we put out a show, no doubt about it, maybe bring in some special guests to talk about commitments. Anything else you want to talk about?
Man, you never know who we're going to be. You never know who we got in store.
Yeah, you never know. We've been, you know, we've done a pretty good job this year bringing in some big time names.
We got Georgia Cup Miss fan of the show. We've been picking up. We got an oil to y'all because y'all been putting our content out there, retweeting. We appreciate y'all for that. We're gonna keep doing that for y'all.
Most definitely, most definitely. And hopefully next week, you know, the whole crew will be back together. I know Graham, he's off traveling, doing some different things for his job or whatever. But, you know, we'll do what we do. But in the meantime, we hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Pick your heads up. Georgia got two more to go. That's what I keep saying.
In the playoffs, man.
In the playoffs.
That's all we could have been out the playoffs, so we in there.
That's right. That's right. I know what people really wanted. People really wanted that easy. I ain't gonna say easy, but that one,
you know,
wanted to beat Bama, knock them out, knock out the big, you know, the big bad bully. Then all of a sudden you get Cincinnati, you think you're gonna knock them out, and you're playing for a title game. But quite honestly, you know what? Like you said, man, we're in it. We got Michigan. Let's get prepared for Michigan. Be ready to knock them out, and then take this thing home January 10th. That's the way I look at it. But hey, that's it for the show tonight, man. Hey, and as always, go Dawgs.
Go Dawgs.
Thank you for listening to the 100 Sanford Podcast. Tune in weekly to hear fresh content from the 100 Sanford Podcast every Thursday, but also with some pop-up shows every now and then as news breaks. You can also follow the content on our website, www.100sanfordpodcast.com, and email us at dawgs@100sanfordpodcast.com. Lastly, reach out to us on social media streams. For Twitter, it's @100Sanford, but on IG, TikTok, Facebook, and other accounts, it's 100 Sanford Podcast. All right, folks, that's it. And as usual, see you at 100 Sanford.